Why are moralism, mysticism, and speculation enemies of the Christian faith? Find out with the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November, Broken, 7 Christian Rules That Every Christian Ought to Break as Often as Possible. It's written by regular guest Pastor Jonathan Fisk. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can pre-order Broken by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Broken, 7 Christian Rules That Every Christian Ought to Break as Often as Possible. Well, I know it's Thursday. I can't figure out what day of the week this really feels like, because tomorrow begins Issues Etc. 24, that is the longest day of any week during the Issues Etc. broadcast year, a live 24-hour broadcast here on Issues Etc. beginning Friday, November the 2nd at 3 p.m. Central. So on Thursday, our mind is much on things to come here on Issues Etc., but that does not slow us down. We don't take any days off before. We might take a day off after, but not before. Issues Etc. 24 on this Thursday afternoon, November the 1st. We're going to be doing a little listener email, Issues Etc. comment line to kick off the beginning of the program. Jason Plummer, a candidate for the 12th Congressional District of Illinois, will join us after that. We'll talk about that local congressional race, happens to be my district down there in southern Illinois. Dr. Carl Rockroar joins us after that. We've got a series going during this Reformation week talking about Lutheranism around the world today, South Africa. The number of Lutherans in Africa outstripped the number of Lutherans in the rest of the world. It's that simple, and it's a remarkable thing to talk about. We'll be talking about it with Dr. Carl Rockroar. Then Pastor Bart Day will bring us up to date on relief efforts in the aftermath of Hurricane Sandy. I believe he'll be joining us from Queens, if I'm not mistaken. Then Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Since tomorrow is the beginning of Issues Etc. 24, we usually do Soundbite of the Week at the end of the week. Well, we've just moved it back here to Thursday afternoon. That means that you can listen and you can vote for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Go to our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. You can vote there. You can listen to those soundbites at our homepage, issuesetc.org. Listen, then vote, and you get to pick Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week on this Thursday afternoon and a chance to win the LPR bundle package. That is an I Have Issues t-shirt, an Issues Etc. travel mug, pen, bumper sticker, and the Issues Etc. on Lutheran Public Radio mouse pad. That's coming up in the last half hour of Issues Etc. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943, 1-877-623-MY-IE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org. We'll be getting to some of your email here in just a minute. You can also send us a tweet at issuesetc, or as I mentioned before, visit our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. I can hear Jeff breathing in the other room.
I am breathing. That's a good sign.
In anticipation of email.
This is correct, but I'd like to talk a little bit more about Issues Etc. 24 first.
Oh, that's fine.
Issues Etc. 24, I was just doing the math. We usually do about 10 hours of programming a week.
That's right.
This is 2 weeks and 2 days worth of programming in one 24-hour swoop.
And people ask us, do you pre-record this? No, we don't pre-record it. It's going to be live. We're going to be awake. We're going to be interviewing guests in two-hour blocks for 24 straight hours beginning tomorrow at 3 p.m. Central. We do it every year. And the guests are great. We've got all the great regular guests you normally expect, 12 of them to cover 12 points of Christian doctrine from the Trinity all the way through Christ's return and judgment in 24 hours.
And people asked several years ago or a couple years ago when we started doing this annual event, why do we do it?
I'm still asking that question. Why do we do it?
Because we can.
Because we can. That's right.
Or yes, we can. Have I heard that somewhere before?
A long time ago. Yeah, look, there's a lot of things that we can do as an independent radio program that we couldn't do in our previous incarnation. One of the things we couldn't have done, we probably been fired because we were considered insane, was to do a 24-hour broadcast. And we thought, well, we can, so we will. And we have for 2 years running and coming up tomorrow, 3 years running.
Now, for people who haven't experienced Issues Etc. 24, it's 24 hours live of the program. And as Todd mentioned, it starts at 3 in the afternoon Central on Friday, November the 2nd and runs to 3 in the afternoon on Saturday, November the 3rd. Now, I just want you to quickly listen to this lineup. We kick it off with Dr. Carl Fikincher on the Trinity, Dr. Ken Sherb on Christ, Original Sin, Free Will, and Conversion with Pastor Peter Bender, Justification with Pastor George Borkhart, 11 Central Time to 1 in the morning, Law and Gospel with Pastor Bill Swirla, Pastor Tom Baker, the man that he is coming in studio from 1 to 3 in the morning to talk with you about new obedience and good works.
You know, he's got 20 years on both of us, and he still stays up that late every night, so...
Exactly. So he won't be getting into any of your stash of the energy drinks, I don't think.
No, he's sustained on pure theology. That's what sustains him.
The sustenance of God's word.
Right. He just opens his Bible and then he keeps going. So what's after Baker?
After Baker, we've got Dr. John Kleinig from Australia. He's going to be on talk about the church from 3 to 5 in the morning on Saturday, November the 3rd. Pastor Jonathan Mummy of Westfield House in England will be on to talk about the ministry in the Keys. Pastor Brent Kuhlman kicks off most people when they get out of bed Saturday morning, 7 to 9 on baptism, the Lord's Supper with Pastor Jonathan Fisk, Confession and Absolution with Dr. Larry Rast, professor of Old Testament or professor of historical theology and president of Concordia Theological Seminary. And we'll conclude Issues, etc. 24 Saturday from 1 to 3 Central with Dr. Larry White talking about Christ's return to judgment. So it's a major event around here.
Yeah,
pretty excited about it. And Craig is putting together a lot of the production elements for this. And one of the things we need from you is the answer to that question, Issues, etc. What does this mean? We need some more of these to play during the 24-hour broadcast of Issues, etc. If possible, noon tomorrow would be even better than before the start of the show to give Craig some time to put all the production together. Please call our comment line. Answer that question. Issues, etc. What does this mean? What do you like about the show? Who are your favorite topics? Tell us a history when you started listening to the show. How you listen to the show. Yada, yada, yada. And the comment line number is 618-223-8382. 618-223-8382. And as Todd mentioned earlier in the week, that if you're scared about making mistakes, like I do frequently on Fridays when I read listener email, we shall do what we do for PodTrack listeners. We will edit out any mistakes that you make. 618-223-8382. Please answer the question, Issues, etc. What does this mean? Preferably by noon Central on Friday, November the 2nd.
That's tomorrow, by the way.
Did we get it all out?
I think we did.
Are you ready for some email?
I'm ready for some email.
I am. This is Matt. He said, regarding Todd's statement that people are converted by baptism in the listener email segment on October 19th, actually, they're converted by the preaching of the word and the repenting and believing that follows. And I'm Lutheran. Well, sort of. I'm moving towards the Reform view because they solve mysteries and have a better understanding of the Lord's Supper. Thanks for the email and thanks for listening, Matt.
Actually, at least what you wrote in your email, you're not moving toward the Reform view. You're actually moving toward the Arminian view. So you might want to watch the direction you're headed, honestly. Look, your argument isn't with me. It's with Scripture. Scripture consistently speaks about baptism in conversion terms. Buried with Christ, raised with Christ, clothed with Christ, all these things that from going from being dead in trespasses and sins to being made alive in Christ, those are all conversion terms and they're all associated directly with Christian baptism in the New Testament. And to top it all off, you have the rather controversial statement of none other than the Apostle Peter in one of his epistles in the New Testament saying, baptism now saves you. And he's not talking about how the water saves. He says it's not like washing, an ordinary washing. As Paul will say elsewhere, it is the washing of regeneration and renewal in the Holy Spirit. In fact, the word there, regeneration, that's the biblical word. There is no biblical word for conversion. The word that the Bible uses is regeneration, rebirth. And Paul, writing to Titus, says baptism is a washing of regeneration and renewal in the Holy Spirit. So, look, Scripture says baptism affects conversion. Are there people who are converted and then baptized? Of course. Absolutely. The Bible has examples of that. We see examples of that every day. But when baptism is applied, it brings about, I think it's Peter who also says in his sermon in the first or second chapter of Acts, he says, repent every one of you and be baptized and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. the promises for you and for your children. So the testimony of Scripture consistently speaks of baptism in terms of conversion, not symbolizing conversion, not signifying conversion, but actually doing what conversion is, if we want to use that term, conversion. Now, you say, and I'm a Lutheran. I would urge you to seriously, if you say you're a Lutheran still, examine what the catechism, we define Lutheran by someone who adheres to the teachings of the Lutheran confessions. Not your own definition, not what you call yourself, but someone who adheres to the teachings of the Lutheran confessions. And the Lutheran confessions are unanimous on this, from the small catechism all the way to the Formula Concord, that baptism brings faith and the Holy Spirit. And I don't know what else to call that but conversion. But I would warn you, you say you're moving toward the Reformed view. You're actually moving toward an Arminian view if you believe it is baptism and your repentance and your act of will in faith. You're moving past Calvin to kind of Anabaptist territory, okay? Just be warned. So there was one other thing I wanted to say there. Oh, yes. If you are attracted to a brand of Christian theology that solves mysteries. That's what you said you liked about the Reformed. It solves mysteries. If you're attracted to that, what are you going to be left with? Something that can be easily grasped with no mysteries. A Bible that has no mysteries in it. Has Calvinism or the Reformed solved the mystery of the two persons in Christ? Everyone who's tried to solve that has ended up a heretic. And to my knowledge, I don't think they try and solve that mystery. The two natures in one person in Christ. I don't think they try and solve that. So that you're going to be left with the mystery there. You're going to be left with the mystery of how our God is three persons yet one God. That's a mystery that confounds reason. I don't think Calvinists or the Reformed try to solve that one either. If you're looking for a religion without mysteries, Islam is the religion for you. There's no mystery there whatsoever. Work hard and maybe God will save you. So embrace the mysteries. We'll be right back.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
Do you have a student finishing up 8th grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Issues Etc. 24 begins in 23 hours and 47 minutes. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Think big screens belong in the movie theater, not at church? Think garage bands should stay in the garage, not be jamming in front of the altar? Hey, we do too. Come join us at St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, Illinois, for services that are reverent and relevant, vibrant and traditional. Divine service on Saturday at 6 p.m., on Sunday morning at 7:45 and 10, with Sunday school and Bible class in between at 9. Join us. Not a big screen or garage band in sight. Promise.
Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
If you call,
welcome back to Issues Etc. It's Thursday afternoon, November the 1st. We're going through listener email.
and the Issues Etc. comment line. I had one other thing before you get to that next email, Jeff, from the emailer before that said he's Lutheran, he's moving toward the Reformed view because it solves mysteries, and he says they have a better view of the Lord's Supper. Actually, the Reformed view, speaking of mysteries in the Lord's Supper, creates a man-made mystery with regard to the Lord's Supper that does not exist in Holy Scripture. There is a mystery to the Lord's Supper, certainly that confounds our wisdom and our reason. But the Reformed, in an attempt to avoid Christ's words, "This is my body, this is my blood," in order to avoid the plain and simple meaning of those words, which, by the way, the historic church has consistently embraced for 2,000 years, they inject a man-made mystery, and it is this. What could Jesus possibly mean if he doesn't mean what he says? What could the words, "This is my body," possibly mean? Mystery of mysteries, if they don't mean, "This is my body." Well, they most certainly, in the Reformed way of thinking, can't mean what they say, so they must mean something else. And so we end up with various branches of the Reformed saying, well, he's talking about a spiritual eating. Of what? Of his body? No. And he's not talking about a bodily presence of his body. He's talking about a spiritual presence of his body. I've never seen a body be spiritually present. Spirits are spiritually present. Bodies are bodily present, all in an attempt to avoid Jesus' plain and simple words, "This is my body, this is my blood." So if you're looking, again, to avoid mysteries, you're going to find one there in Reformed theology that Scripture doesn't even present. It's one that has been created out of whole cloth in order to explain away what Scripture so clearly says.
Here's an email from Guy. He says, "It's nice that you did a series on Luther's hymns. I'm disappointed you did not cover Our Father, Thou in Heaven Above. Believe it or not, I heard it played during a Roman Catholic Mass when I visited that church. I could not believe my ears. I talked to the organist later. I had met him before at another event. I asked him what he was playing. He smiled and said something along the lines of, 'You're Lutheran, aren't you?' and showed me the music. It was Luther's hymn, 'Our Father, Thou in Heaven Above.'" Thanks for the email, and thanks for listening, Guy.
Well, we did that series last week on the hymns of Luther, and of course, Luther has a lot of hymns. So one of the things someone also asked, why didn't you do A Mighty Fortress? I think we've done A Mighty Fortress before, and we generally, on those hymn studies, like to plow new ground. We like to study hymns that we haven't studied before. So since we were doing original programming for that entire week of the Reformation leading up to the Reformation Sunday, we were doing hymns of Luther's that we have not done before. That's one reason. There's also other reasons, aren't there, Jeff?
Well, when we decided to do this year's theme of Issues, Etc., Reformation Week, the hymns of Martin Luther, I thought, well, who do you go to? And they're probably going to be mad that I'm informing the listening audience that we asked them to choose these for us. But I was looking for an historian / theologian, and that was Dr. Ken Sherb, and a musician and theologian, that was Dr. Paul Grimm. So they both gave us about a list of 10, then we cross-referenced which ones matched with the other ones, and that's how we came up with those 5 hymns during Issues, Etc., Reformation Week.
Okay. And that doesn't mean we're not going to do... Do we have a recording of the one that he mentioned in his email?
Yes, we do. I think it's really long. I think it's... there's one of them, and I think that's the one that we were looking at was like 10 minutes and something. But so it might be a two-hour hymn study.
Yeah, we might be able to do a two-hour hymn study there. That doesn't mean we won't do it. It just means when you're doing, in this case, with some of those hymns, 2 of those hymns during last week, we had to do a 90-minute show to cover the entire hymn. So when we're trying to fit it into 2 hours of radio and do the other programming that we're doing, you have to pick and choose. And those were the choices made based upon those recommendations from our very trusted guest, Dr. Ken Sherb and Dr. Paul Grimm.
I'm kind of tired of reading. Why don't we play a comment? What do you say?
Absolutely.
Greetings in Christ. This is Pastor Robert Portier of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Sevierville, Tennessee, and I'm calling with regard to your program that talked about when is a church too big. I have been in the ministry myself for a little over 6 years. I am a second career pastor, and I do believe that the limitations on whether or not a church is too big, we're not talking about buildings, we're talking about congregations, really should be based on how many households a pastor can serve. From my personal experience as a pastor and a parishioner, I think that a pastor could probably serve, weep with those who weep, in essence, and celebrate with those who celebrate, somewhere in the neighborhood of 75 to maybe even 150 households. Beyond that, it becomes very difficult. Now, it's very wide-ranging because if you serve a young, healthy congregation that all comes to church, then your need for visiting and hospital visits and those sorts of things, it goes down, and you have more time to serve them in other ways. But if you have an elderly congregation and you spend a lot of time in visiting shut-ins and going to the hospital, that number of households, of course, would go down. So that's just my two cents on it. I think that when we start to, in order for a church to be a church, it needs to be able to be shepherded. And if we go, we can have large churches. We can have churches with 200 or 300 or 500 households, as long as it has enough shepherds within its congregation to care for those and shepherd those and pastor those under their care. So there's my two cents. Thanks for what you all do. We enjoy listening. Have a blessed day. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. Some wise words there. You know, we actually didn't even do a program on that question. We were only talking on the air about doing a program on that question. When is a church too big? Is there ever a point where a church is too big? It's something we're considering for Open Lines. All this stuff is going to get pushed off after Issues Etc. 24, and we'll pull it all out of the hopper and see what we can do with it. But it's an excellent way to kind of prime the pump for that. And good, solid thinking about what it is, why it is you want to, you might want to say, you know, when the church gets above a certain size, maybe it should stop growing as a single church and give birth to another congregation for the sake of really good pastoral care. We do this in other things, in human endeavors, don't we? We would never say that there would be a town of 10,000 people with only one doctor. He wouldn't sleep. Or people wouldn't get the care that they need. You wouldn't have a town of 10,000 people with only one guy pumping gas, would you? No, of course not. You would multiply that, which is, and for some reason, you know, there are a lot of churches that say, well, no, a pastor certainly can't even know everybody in this congregation. I don't think that's a good idea. In what sense is he your pastor if he doesn't even know you? Maybe not even know your name, not even be able to pick you out of a lineup. By the way, the Issues Etc. comment line is always open for your questions, your comments, your show suggestions, your criticisms, and your answer to the question, Issues Etc., what does this mean? 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382.
And what else are they supposed to use the comment line for?
I just said that.
Oh, you did? Okay, yeah. Sorry.
Way ahead of you.
Craig and I are eating caramel corn. Is that what it is? Caramel? No, not kettle corn.
I don't like kettle corn.
Do you like caramel corn?
Yes, I like caramel corn, but I do not like kettle corn.
I didn't get any this year for Halloween.
I didn't get anything for Halloween.
Well, I just eat my kids' candy. I didn't see any caramel corn. It must be a fad. It must be on the way out.
Well, I don't know. Kettle corn is like, I like the smell of kettle corn. They're always making it outside the Walmart in my little town. Smells great. But there's something about, it's not sweet enough. Caramel corn is basically caramel with a little bit of popcorn in it. I don't know. It's an acquired taste.
You said you only had how many trick-or-treaters last night?
I wasn't keeping an exact count, but I think the doorbell rang or they knocked only like three times. It was a ghost town in our neighborhood when it came to trick-or-treaters last night.
Well, you know, last night was Craig, board operator extraordinaire and director of business operations here at Lutheran Public Radio, and Tori, still in marital bliss, their first Halloween together.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
I want to know, Craig, who handed out the candy? Did you guys fight over that? Or?
Well, I'm trying to eat kettle corn, first of all, and it's probably not a good idea to ask me questions while I have a handful of kettle corn. Anyway,
it was a simple question, Craig. Please answer. Who is handing out the candy?
Well, kind of, we shared the duty, I guess is what I'm trying to say. We shared the duty.
I'm picturing you both standing in the foyer of the Feitinger Mansion, holding hands, waiting for the doorbell to ring, and then skipping merrily to the door when you see the kiddos in the window, holding hands.
I did not, and you know, my father would be proud of me for this. I do not like when kids ring the doorbell and the door stays open for a long time when it's cold outside, because my father would say, what, are we trying to heat the outdoors.
So what was your solution?
We went outside and we got cold and handed out candy.
Okay.
That's what we did.
All right.
We did come, Tori came inside and made some spiced apple cider. Just because we sat on the front porch?
I went out about 10:30 last night, and there were still some of your kind sitting on their porches.
Yeah, by 8:30 we were
in. They were watching me run by, and it was creepy.
By 8:30 we were in. But the best thing, I saw plenty of different costumes all night long. The best thing I heard, though, kid dressed up like a robber, you know, all in black, had the mask on. He walks up. And Tori, I had to tell Tori this because she was in making the cider. But Luna and I were outside, and this kid walks up. He's all in black. He says, "Trick or treat, I'm a robber of candy." So I gave him double for that.
That's pretty clever. He knew what he wanted. There's a kid who's going to be going places. He knows what he's there for. He asks a question, he gets an answer. It's Craig's kind of boy there. By the way, Luna is their dog, just so you know. And Craig, well, more than a dog to Craig, more like a child, more like a child. We'll be back with more email and issues, et cetera, comment line on this Thursday afternoon, November the 1st. Stay tuned. For assistance, if this all confuses you, so tell me why.
The Church's Music from the 20th Century. The 17th Century. The 11th Century. The 8th century. The 4th century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
In the 1500s, the Reformers grieved over the view people had of their callings in life, believing work done for the church superior to work done anywhere else. So the Reformers worked to restore a proper balance. But as it's written in Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under the sun. 600 years later, with the thought of everyone a minister, haven't we gone back? The CLCC has released a new seminar on the doctrine of vocation, an important Lutheran teaching that has fallen into disuse over the years. The solution is to start teaching it once again. The seminar contains 4 lessons, with a standalone overview lesson available for circuit convocations. Serving our neighbors through our vocations is essential for the task of evangelism practiced according to Scripture. Contact us to schedule your seminar today at theclcc.org. That's theclcc.org. And please, consider joining the CLCC or making a donation to help us bring these powerful but low-cost seminars to the laity. theclcc.org.
Issues Etc. 24 begins in 23 hours and 32 minutes. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Emmanuel Lutheran, Alexandria, Virginia. Bethel Lutheran, Ballinger, Texas. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Eola, Texas. Beautiful Savior Lutheran, Bridgeton, Missouri. Christ Our King Community Lutheran, Costa Mesa, California. Lord of Life Lutheran, Plano, Texas. Christ Lutheran, Platte Woods, Missouri. Hope Lutheran, Sonora, Texas. Faith Lutheran, Azona, Texas. And Emmanuel Lutheran, Steger, Illinois. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
let me tell you about my faith. Well, it's okay to say that, but what we're really saying is, let me tell you about Christ.
So really, you think it's okay to kill a baby just because she happens to be female? So really, you think that you should be allowed to kill a baby moments before it would be born? You know, like, really, you think Down syndrome is a legitimate reason to take the life of another human who's inside the womb? You never hear those questions.
These aren't meant to be sort of a thermometer that you want to stick in your mouth and say, now, how am I doing on showing mercy or being pure in heart here? That's to look inward on ourselves.
Tongue-tied Moses leads Israel out of Egypt. Prostitute Rahab protects the people of God. Moabite Ruth continues the line to David. David, the simple shepherd, becomes Israel's greatest king. Who knew?
About an hour from now, your chance to play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. The four sound bites, you got a chance to listen and then pick one ought to be, which one ought to be Issues Etc. soundbite of the week, and a chance to win the LPR bundle package. And I Have Issues t-shirt and Issues Etc. travel mug, pen, bumper sticker, and the Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio mouse pad, all thrown in there to the listener with the best vote for soundbite of the week on this Thursday afternoon. You can vote in advance at our Facebook page, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc.
There's an email from Ben. We got continue to get some email, not favorable email. It's sort of our last interview with Dr. John Warwick Montgomery on the beliefs and practices of Mormonism, in which he said he would not vote for Governor Romney.
Mm-hmm.
This is Ben. I believe you are sidestepping the concerns raised by listeners regarding Dr. Montgomery's Romney comments. Dr. Montgomery is not wrong to call into question the judgment of a Mormon. However, Dr. Montgomery has committed a serious and demonstrable error in the reasoning which has brought him to his emphatic conclusion that he cannot vote for a Mormon. The premise of Dr. Montgomery's argument is that one who lacks judgment in one area of his life will surely lack judgment in another area. In a vacuum, this sounds good, but it falls apart in reality. As you have said yourself, people live with happy inconsistencies. Brilliant, competent, productive, successful people suffer lapses in judgment in whole areas of their lives, believing, for example, in evolution. Why are we concerned about the judgment of a president anyway, writes Ben, because of decisions and policies that arise from that judgment? Why revert to judgment when both candidates are known quantities and opposites with regard to their records on the weighty social issues? It makes no sense. Our beloved Montgomery himself makes an uncharacteristically abysmal judgment, effectually, if not actually, voting for the very policies he opposes on the grounds that Romney can't be trusted to do any better, despite his record, because he's a Mormon, after all. Despite this tremendous blunder, Ben writes, I will continue to listen and learn many good things from Dr. John Warwick Montgomery, because I know he doesn't consistently lack judgment in all areas of his life. Thanks for the email, and thanks for listening, Ben.
Certainly not the only one to disagree with Dr. Montgomery's judgment on whether or not he would vote for a Mormon. Now, just to be on the safe side, and we have other emails that's reflective of many of them with regard to that conversation with Dr. Montgomery, not reflected in Ben's, but elsewhere. Dr. Montgomery never said he was going to vote for President Obama. He never said that. He said that he had serious misgivings about voting for someone who could buy hook, line, and sinker what it is Mormonism teaches. And he was making the argument not about felicitous, well, he wasn't denying felicitous inconsistency, which is actually a theological category where we say someone can hold to an error in their theology yet still be saved. That is, still retain faith in Jesus Christ, even though they may hold to an error in their theology. That's an entirely different thing than saying that's not an issue of judgment. That's an issue of someone may believe wrongly in their theology and yet still have faith in Jesus Christ. Romney, by his own admission, has no faith in Jesus Christ. It's a Mormon's faith, which is not a faith in the true Christ. So we're not talking about felicitous inconsistency. We're talking here about, can a person who is willing to believe the outlandish historical claims, lay aside the theological claims, of Mormonism, and only talk about what Mormons claim as history, for which there is absolutely zero evidence, and all the evidence that does exist is contrary to their historical claims. He was saying, look, you got to have someone who there has to be some evidence for the history they believe, and the history he believes as a Mormon, not the theology, just the history he believes as a Mormon, calls into question his judgment. That's what he's saying. And he's not saying he would vote for President Obama. Just to be clear that everybody understands what it is Dr. Montgomery was and wasn't saying.
You're sure that you did, Barack Obama's appearance on the Tonight Show on Friday was kind of hard to listen to because I found out Thursday my 19-year-old niece, who in her childhood made a commitment to Christ, wants to vote for Barack Obama, and abortion is her big issue. She says she believes in the right to choose. It absolutely broke my heart when I heard that Thursday night. I've been involved in the pro-life movement. It just made me really sad. Please pray for her.
Well, absolutely. And look, this is something that our culture and especially the pervasive politics of the American scene today makes it very easy for people, especially young people who haven't had the experience or the time to think these things through properly, to simply buy into the slogans. And one of the slogans that is so easy for those who either through lack of experience or sometimes willful ignorance buy into is the right of choice. Well, I want to support a woman's right to choose. That sounds great until you finish the sentence. I support a woman's right to choose too, just not abortion. I do not support a woman's right to choose to kill her 2-year-old. I believe a woman who kills her 2-year-old belongs in prison. It's a crime. No more would I support a woman's right to choose to kill her unborn child. That is also a crime. But there are a lot of other things I do support a woman's right to choose. Who she'll marry, what car she'll drive, what job she'll take, what education she'll pursue. All of those things. I think choice is a great thing. But there's no legitimate way to morally justify choosing to kill an unborn child. There's no way to morally justify it. So if what you might do is great patience, help your niece finish the sentence. What are you supporting when you support? What is the president supporting when he supports a woman's right to choose? Finish the sentence. You'll notice that pro-choicers don't want to finish the sentence. Or when they do, they'll finish it with a very glossy euphemism. Well, I support a woman's right to choose her own reproductive destiny. What does that mean? She did choose her reproductive destiny when she had sex. And now she's changing her mind. Are they really supporting a woman's right to change her mind about her reproductive destiny?
This is Herman calling November 1st, All Saints Day, and commenting on the presentation by Pastor Abrahamson on Halloween and the origin of All Saints Day on October 30th. It's as if we listeners, in bringing our trick-or-treating sacks to the hour of his presentation, have them more than bountifully filled with all kinds of wonderful information and perspective and true and accurate sources about the origin of All Saints Day as prior to the Roman papacy and not an invention of the Roman papacy, and in done in light of confession of Jesus Christ as the true Savior of all who believe in him, as he has paid for the sins of the world on his cross and is now in glory, and the saints around him in heaven and in earth, and also appraising the various civil society recent customs called Halloween in the civil sense of the trick-or-treating, the costumes, the haunted houses, and et cetera, and giving us a rundown on that. So that certainly was a full sack of treats we got with Pastor Abrahamson. Well, I know Pastor Wilkin and all are probably getting busy for the weekend. Make sure you got your Dunkin' Donuts coffee on hand for the coffee machine. Have it cleaned out according to instructions, or run about a 50-50 water and white vinegar through it if you need to, depending on what it is. And Pastor Wilkins probably been real busy this week with Pastor Coombe at Trinity at Millstadt out on vacation. So hope to get ready and rested up and get everything in order there. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Good advice on the coffee maker. Right? There are some things you don't want to do because you don't want to know what's going to happen, right? Like running vinegar through our coffee machine. I don't want to see what comes out the other end. I prefer to leave that stuff hidden. We do have to clear up the coffee thing, though, with Craig here, because he mentioned the Dunkin' Donuts coffee for issues, et cetera.
Don't assume our listeners have a history.
That's right. Craig has been known to...
Coffee crisis.
He has been known to just outright lie about what kind of coffee is in that machine, to tell us that it's regular coffee when it's sometimes even decaffeinated, for which I do not see a point. And so I'm just telling you, Craig, I know that you want... I know that you really, really want to put half calf in there, but the success of Issues Etc. 24 depends upon you biting the bullet and putting real coffee in the coffee maker. All right? It depends on it. Herman's right.
I think I might take over that duty this year. I'll be the coffee maker for Issues Etc. 24.
All right.
Because, you know, the thing
you
is,
I can trust.
In the past, he was mixing the half calf, he was mixing the decaf and the caffeinated, and I couldn't tell the difference between the grounds. You know, so I think this year I'll be making coffee for Issues Etc. 24.
Like I said, you I can trust. Craig, in any other respect, I will trust Craig, but not on the issue of coffee. Won't do it. Fool me once. And he fooled us for like 2 years straight. Well, when we come back, we're going to spend some time with Jason Plummer. He's a candidate for the 12th Congressional District of Illinois. We'll talk about that race right after this.
Whether vacationing in Branson or boating on Table Rock Lake, Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran Church in Kimberling City, Missouri is your Christ-confessing congregation. Every week, Christ comes to us through the preached word and sacraments, by which we are strengthened and kept in the one true faith. So come to where Christ comes to you. Come to Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran Church, 103 Kimberling Boulevard in Kimberling City, Missouri. For more, see our website at sothl.com.
Issues Etc. What does this mean? We want to hear from you. We're preparing for a live 24-hour broadcast of Issues Etc. on November 2nd and 3rd, and we want to play your answer. Please leave your thoughts about this worldwide outreach on the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Be sure to give us your first name and tell us where you're from, 618-223-8382. Issues Etc. What does this mean?
Issues Etc. 24 begins in 23 hours and 18 minutes. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Does your church need a backup organist? The Virtual Organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Here's an opportunity for you to get up to 75% off many of the resources you hear us promote on Issues Etc. It's Concordia Publishing House's warehouse sale from 8 in the morning till noon on Saturday, November 3rd. Concordia Publishing House is located south of Interstate 44 at 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis. The 2012 warehouse sale, Saturday morning, November the 3rd at Concordia Publishing House, 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis.